It's Susie Klein's Sunday morning here on BBC Radio 3, and Mark Schwarzentruber is with me. Time for his Raiders of the Lost Archive. We have Koussevitzky.
Yeah, Serge Koussevitzky, born in 1874, very famous as the conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, but he started out really as a virtuoso double bass player. He was born into a poor Jewish family and northwest of Moscow, and took up the double bass. He also learned the trumpet, the cello, the piano. I mean, he showed an early talent in all these instruments. But he really became a fabulous soloist on the double bass.
He was pretty well known and established in Moscow as a soloist. So what made him give up the career and go into conducting?
He had bigger ambitions. He married his first wife was a dancer at the Bolshoi, where he was playing double bass. But under some mysterious circumstances, he divorced her and almost immediately married an extremely wealthy tea merchant's daughter. And from that point, he quickly left the Bolshoi and moved to Berlin, where he hired his own orchestra so that he could learn conducting. He practiced with his own hired orchestra.
Yeah, that must have cost him a penny or two.
Well, he was very generous. He also paid off his teacher, Arthur Nikitch's, gambling debts. So he was, he was a nice guy.
But he sort of has this reputation, I suppose, as being not the most technically minded conductor, not the most technically accomplished conductor. Is that fair?
Well, I think he was an absolutely brilliant interpreter, but I think it is fair to say that he didn't have the most refined or the most developed nuts and bolts skills. I mean, he had to hire pianists to play the modern scores to him so that he could learn what they sounded like.
So he didn't have that kind of inner ear for looking at a score that many conductors do have.
He didn't need to. I mean, he could hire a pianist to do it for him. And he was obviously a very charismatic gentleman. I mean, he was very, very interested in new music and commissioned lots of new works. He set up his own publishing firm and championed Rachmaninoff, bought the rights to Rachmaninoff's music, Scriabin, Prokofiev, Stravinsky, Nikolai Metner. He also championed
American composers, people like Bernstein and Copland, because America became his kind of adopted home.
Yes, after he moved to the States to become the conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, he was a big champion of all the American composers. I mean, interestingly, one of the most famous of his commissions is Maurice Ravel's arrangement of the Pictures and an Exhibition. That was a Koussevitzky commission.
And the music we're about to hear is Prokofiev, Romeo and Juliet, the ballet suite. Now, this is a recording, I think, made in the mid-40s, but it's new music, basically. I mean, you know, this was written only a few years earlier.
Yes, written in, I think it was premiered in 1936. We're hearing a 1945 recording. And he's now got this orchestra to a fever pitch. I mean, this is great virtuosity we're about to hear. It's a dark, rather violent interpretation, but it's so elegant. And I think he surpasses most of the Soviet era conductors.
Thank you. Thank you.
a darkly violent interpretation of Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet Ballet Suite, a recording made in 1945 in Symphony Hall, Boston, Serge Koussevitzky conducting the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, that's such an idiomatically perfect interpretation, I think.
Okay, explain what you mean by idiomatic.
Well,
please.
He captures the feel of the music just so that it feels absolutely right. I mean, he was good at doing American music as well. I mean, Aaron Copland was one composer that he championed, and many people say that Koussevitzky, even being a Russian, captures the feel of the American composers better than some of the American conductors do. So.
Is that because he was himself a musician, or just because he had this fantastically innate ear and sense of the language and the rhythm of the way that this kind of music worked?
Yes, that's right. I mean, a wonderful interpreter, and also he had a great sense for that kind of feel of music, to how to get it to sound right.
What was it that he brought to Boston, to the symphony orchestra there? What did his time there achieve?
When he came in, he immediately fired about 20 players, you know, putting his stamp like other conductors had done as well. But he couldn't really, to the press, he didn't really explain why he fired them, other than to say that they were smoking during rehearsals.
So, well, this was an expression of the kind of omniscient power of the conductor,
absolutely.
I suppose, in those days. So
show them who's boss. Yeah.
So his musicians were not colleagues, these were underlings.
Oh, but they adored him. They absolutely adored him, in spite of his failings. Yes, I mean, the story of him learning the Rite of Spring is interesting. You know, he had the rehearsal pianist teach it to him, and he couldn't quite get the rhythms right. And so the rehearsal pianist had to write out Stravinsky's score with slight different notation so that Koussevitzky could do it.
And in the end, then, in terms of what he brought to Boston, was he primarily a kind of musician's musician, or was he just a pragmatist through and through?
He was a great pragmatist and a very ambitious man, and extremely good at promotion. He was his own agent all his life.
Great. Well, yeah. Another fine vintage choice, Mark. Thank you very much indeed.